It's good to be here in Hamilton. I remember when I used to preach up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we used to come through here on 281. We didn't like taking 35, not much to see on 35 except for car wrecks. Take 281, take the back roads down to San Antonio. We always stop by a Mexican food restaurant here. We always liked it and try to stop by whenever we could. I don't find myself traveling that great a distance anymore, but it's good to be in Hamilton. Always love the city, the downtown area, how beautiful it's been. Good to see Foy. I always love when he led songs and went along, and it goes along with my lesson today. And it's so good to see Tom and his family here. I've been to Jamaica with his family, except for Tom, and you get Tom to go some time with us. And we have a good time down there in Jamaica as well. Appreciate you all for being here, this lectureship, the elders, and for Tom for their work getting this together. I know there are many members here who also work on this. We're certainly thankful for this lectureship, also for those who might be listening to the tape or those who are actually here in the audience to learn more about Jesus and especially how he is the Good Shepherd. A shepherd was looking after his sheep one day beside a road that was kind of deserted. And all of a sudden, there was a brand new Porsche that screeches to a halt right beside him. The driver, a man dressed with an Armani suit, designer shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, a Tag Heuer wristwatch, and Pierre Carnegie, gets out and asks the shepherd a question. And he says, "If I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you allow me to take one of your sheep home with me?" The shepherd, of course, looked at this young man. He looked back at his sheep and how many sheep he had, and he says, "All right, if you guess correctly, I will let you have one of my sheep, and you can take them home with you." The young man parks his car. He connects his laptop to his mobile. He enters a NASA website. Then he scans the ground using his GPS, opens a database, 60 Excel tables filled with many things, pivot tables, and then he prints out a 150-page report with this high-tech mini printer, and he told the shepherd, "Will you have exactly 1,586 sheep?" And the shepherd was rather impressed. He says, "All right, you can have one of my sheep, and you can take it home with you," and that is correct. The young man takes the animal and puts it in the back of his Porsche, and then as he's about to pull away, the shepherd asks him a question. He says, "If I guess what your profession is, can I have my animal back?" And the man said, "Well, of course, why not?" And the shepherd says, "Well, you are an IT consultant." And this young man says, "Well, how did you know that?" And he says, "Well, first of all, you did several things. You came here without being called. Secondly, you charged me for a fee for something I already knew. And thirdly, you don't understand anything about my business." And he says, "Now, can I please have back my dog?" Being a shepherd is not easy. We may think that it is an easy task or easy job, but it is not. It is a professional, specialized job. And it takes a good shepherd, a lifetime really, to learn how to shepherd sheep. And not only that, but as we think about shepherding, many times that is a trade that has passed from a father to a son. But as we move from that illustration, we want to look at a good shepherd, the good shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ even referenced himself as being the good shepherd there in the Bible. Now, as we think about the nature of sheep, they are such that they need constant guidance. I remember growing up there in San Antonio. I actually grew up in Bolverde, but my grandparents had a ranch long ago before it turned the big city it is today. And I remember one time he had a sheep that went astray. And we went to look for that sheep, and we finally found it up the side of a hill. And as we tried to get close to the sheep to corral it, it took off. And my grandfather says, "You'll never see that sheep again. He'll be devoured by coyotes." And how sad it was that we would never see that sheep, and there would be a lost sheep that will never, ever come back. But there are lost sheep today, and I'm thankful that we have the Good Shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, to give us guidance through his word. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, Jesus Christ talked about that illustration of sheep having a shepherd. And he says, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But without guidance from a shepherd, sheep will indeed become lost. Sheep are defenseless animals, and they need protection. The situation of a sheep allowed the Lord to teach his disciples how the world would treat them as they went out into it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Jesus Christ said this when he would send out his disciples. He says, "Behold, I will send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore serpents, and harmless as doves." It takes a shepherd to love sheep. And without abiding love for the sheep, he cannot be called the good shepherd. He cannot be called the perfect shepherd. And surely a good shepherd's love is depicted in Luke chapter 15 and verses 3 through 7, where he left the 99 sheep that were found and not lost for the one sheep that went astray. That's what a good shepherd will do. And he seeks that one that is lost. But our text is going to come from John chapter 10, if you'd be turning there and leave your Bible markers there. Because in John 10, Jesus Christ tells us about the good shepherd. And certainly, he is the good shepherd. But one of the first things we want to mention here is that Jesus Christ is the perfect provider. And there are five keys I would like to give for you this morning. And the first one is found in verse 2 of chapter 10. And Jesus Christ enters in by the door. That's what the good shepherd does. In the area where Jesus Christ lived, shepherds sometimes put their sheep into the common fold. They can actually take them into this compound where their sheep would stay overnight while the shepherds got some sleep. And when daytime came, the porter would call the shepherd. And the shepherd will come into this common fold and he would call his sheep, just as you might call your dog. That dog will listen to your voice. The sheep were the same way. They knew who their shepherd was. And even though they may be mixed together with other sheep, when they would hear that shepherd's voice, they would come and they would listen for his voice. But the shepherd's voice was familiar to them and he took them out into the pasture. But some other person who tried to come into this compound other than the door, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 1, and he climbed up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. How beautiful is this lesson that God, Jesus, is our shepherd and we are the sheep today. When we look at what Jesus Christ has done for us and given us his word, we know his distinctive voice because it comes from the word of God. But those who came before him are not qualified to be the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He called everyone else, they are robbers in verse 8. But not only does he enter by the door, but he calls the sheep by name in verse 3. Before you can provide for any animal, you have to know some things about that animal. What that animal eats, some characteristics about that animal. Whether it is a horse, whether it is a sheep, whether it is a cow, whatever it might be, we have to learn some things about that animal. A shepherd has to be close to sheep. He has to know and understand the sheep, and Jesus Christ certainly understands us as Christians. He has lived with sheep. I remember one day we had these dogs. We always had these stray dogs. And sure enough, there were always black labs that came into our yard. And my brother would always take them into our house. He would feed them and take care of them. Now, we named this dog. We had seven of them because they constantly got hit by cars. But for the most part, my brother kept good track of these dogs. He would feed them. He would even sleep with them. And my mom would tell my dad, said, you need to get that dog away from him. He's living with that dog all day long. A shepherd lives with his sheep. A shepherd cares for his sheep. Jesus Christ was uniquely qualified to provide for man's spiritual needs. In John chapter 2, verse 24 through 25, it says, "For that he knew all men, because he needed not that anyone should hear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." Jesus Christ knows us because he created us. Jesus Christ knows our very names, as we are going to see. But why should one be anxious? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, he says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Matter of fact, Jesus Christ, when he was talking about how we need not to worry, he understood some things about us. He understood that we are going to be individuals who get anxious, that we are individuals who worry. And he even talked about the sparrows. And he said that the sparrows, God cares about them. He provides for them. And how much more of value are you than they are? Amen. But in this material-crazed world, what a precious blessing for a Christian that we know that Jesus Christ knows us. And he knows us for who we are. Not for what we have, but he knows us. And not only that, he knows us by name. As a matter of fact, the Bible even mentions that our name is written in heaven. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Jesus Christ, while talking to his disciples, had this to say. He says, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And I think that should be a great comfort for us, that our names are written there. Now, world may not record our names in history books. Our names may not be in the newspaper. Our names may not go down in history. But the fact that our Savior, Jesus Christ, who created this world, knows our name, that is a great blessing. That is a great thing. But not only does he know our names, but look at verse 3. "The sheep hear his voice." The clear, distinctive, and familiar sound of the shepherd made the sheep feel comforted. They understood who their shepherd was. They were used to being with him. They heard him, and we hear Jesus through the word of God today. We hear his clear voice. We hear him as he speaks through us through his word. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, "All scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God." It is God-breathed. The faith that God requires and the works that follow can be heard very clearly from God's word. But as creatures, we need a good balanced diet. If we're going to be strong, we need to have, first of all, we need to long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow unto salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. But I believe that in the Lord's church, sometimes we just preach on those subjects that are positive in nature, and we forget about maybe those subjects that the world may consider to be negative. But we need both the positive and negative. When we think about a battery, if we are going to receive the power from the battery, we must hook up to the positive post and to the negative post as well to get the power from within the battery. Many today are fed a constant diet of positive sermons, and those are good to preach. But we also need to hear about the negative. There are some places who will not preach about sin. They will not talk about it. That you will not hear how you have to change. And how many signs have I have heard? Come as you are. There's no need to change. If you don't need to change, why do you need to go? But Jesus Christ talked about sin. He talked about the old man and the new man. How there are some things you need to put off and how there are some things you need to add to your life. We cannot talk about the blessings of Jesus when we just talk about all the great things. There are some things that we also have to talk about that we necessarily don't want to talk about, and that is hell. Because just as we have to talk about heaven, we must speak also about hell. But Jesus Christ talked about crucifying oneself. He talked about dying to sin. But notice Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For the grace of God hath appeared, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now this says that grace instructs, grace teaches. Well, how does it teach? It teaches us by negatively sometimes teaching us in the Word of God that there are some things that we must stop. There are some things that we must cease from doing. It also teaches us that we also need to be godly. We need to not be weak Christians, but be godly Christians and understand that there are both positive and negative things within His Word. But then number four, He leadeth them out and goeth before them in verses 3 and 4. The Good Shepherd has provided for us a perfect path to follow. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ came to this earth in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, and He gave us an example that we should follow. We think about salvation. Jesus Christ came to this earth to give us a path. And I remember growing up in Boverde, Texas, and going to my father's grandfather's ranch. And there were times where I put on his cowboy hat and I put on his boots, and I wanted to be like him, and I wanted to walk in his footsteps. That exact same way we should walk in the steps of our shepherd and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. And we should be thrilled to walk humbly in His steps. I remember before I preached, the only other job I had was working at Albertsons, and I used to bag groceries and cashier and did a few other things while I was working there. And I'll never forget one man who was working there, and his name was Michael. And Michael worked very hard in front of his boss, and I saw that. But what many people do not see from Michael is that when everyone left, how hard he really worked. He worked 10 times harder when the boss was not there. He would run to get his job done. He would load an 18-wheeler full of many things and work very hard. If you were to ask his employees to follow him, surely they would. If they had maybe difficult work to do, they would listen to him and they would follow him. Jesus Christ knows what we must do, and we should follow him today because he is our example. But something else that Jesus Christ did is that he is also provides faithful assistance. The good shepherd, Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And by implication, sometimes we misunderstand the elder's job within the Lord's church. They are shepherds. God is our great shepherd. He is the perfect shepherd. And then we have shepherds who are underneath him who are our shepherds in the Lord's church today. But Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. Just as Jesus Christ protected his sheep, we need shepherds within the Lord's church who are going to protect the flock from outside influences. Amen. He says that they are to tend to the flock which is among you in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17 also says, obey them who rule over you and submit yourself to them, for they watch on behalf of your souls, so that they may do so with joy and not with grief. But sad is the day when preachers preach that elders do not have authority. And even how much more sad it is when elders started to believe them that they did not have authority. Elders have authority. Jesus Christ has authority in heaven and in earth, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And there are some lessons that we must keep in mind when we, as elders, guard the flock. And as we think about the flock and Jesus Christ being our perfect shepherd, not only is he our perfect provider, but he is our perfect protector. Look down at verse 11. It says there that Jesus Christ lays his life down for his sheep. When the flock was not close to this common fold, when maybe they were away from this common fold where they can deposit the sheep at night, many times the shepherd would look for a place where he can put his sheep, and sometimes at a dead-end place where there was only a narrow way to go in to where the sheep were at. And the shepherd would sleep there right in the midst of that door or that opening. And if any coyotes tried to come in, if any wolves tried to enter in, you would have to get over his dead body before you would get to the sheep. Shepherds in the Lord's church are the same way. There should not be anyone they allow to come in that would hurt God's sheep. God does not want anyone that is his children to be hurt. He wants to protect them. But we have to follow Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. God has given his children protection today. But many times we as Christians, we lay aside that armor. We don't put it on. We cast it aside. But God has arranged for this armor that it might protect us and that we can fight with Jesus Christ against evil in this world. The scriptures tell us that children of God have a living hope. Turn to your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. It says that we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now notice that phrase, by the power of God are guarded through faith, comes from a Greek word. That word guarded, it's a military term. Here's an individual who would stand up in a high point and he would overlook the war that was about to take place. And many times he would put himself in a place where there is danger. And they would have these great men who would protect him and shield him from those enemies. But as he directed his armies from this area, he could see what was going on in the battle and he could help and he could send more troops if need be. But he was one who guarded the troops. He was one who helped the troops. We need shepherds today who are going to guard the flock. But we certainly are important to Christ. We are important in the war against evil when it comes to the sins of this world. The shepherd has a system of faith. He wants to protect you, and you are protected because of your faith, like a fortress. I oftentimes think about King Kong, and you know, when they make those fortresses, they got those timbers, they put them together, and as they put these timbers together, they tied them with strong ropes, and they tied them with vines so that King Kong or whatever other animal was out there, I wouldn't worry about anything else other than King Kong, could not get in. And that fortress was strong, and it was built strong. We today, as members of the Lord's church, we are that fortress. We are those timbers that are tied together that indeed gives us protection from the enemy who is Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it mentions and talks about our adversary, the devil, who has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our fortress is our faith. And here are some timbers that will make us strong. When we think about worship, when we think about study, both publicly and privately, when we think about prayer, when we bind these together with agape love, we are strong. We are mighty. Where there is a timber that is missing, Satan can come in. He can destroy the flock. He can destroy a home. He can destroy a congregation. But protection is available. We have to make our calling election for sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. But not only does a good shepherd lay down his life for his sheep, secondly, he does not leave his sheep. He talks about a hireling in chapter 10, verse 12. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, beholdeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. And he fleeth, and the wolf snatched them and scatters them. We can take courage of this fact that Jesus Christ will never leave us. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says, lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. A hireling would just flee. He did not want to face the wolves or the coyotes. He's just going to get up and leave. But the shepherd who loves his sheep will not do that. He will lay down his life willingly for his sheep. He will not forsake them, and neither will Jesus forsake us. Some of the most encouraging passages that we find in the Bible come from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God has made us a team as the Lord's church, and we cannot be easily defeated, especially with Jesus Christ as our shepherd. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He gives a long list there of many things that cannot separate us from the love of Christ or from Christ himself. unless we allow those things to separate us from Christ. Jesus Christ loves us very much as a shepherd. Thirdly, he also has given us faithful assistance. As with guidance and protection, shepherds play an enormous part of the protection of the flock, just as elders protect the flock from those who might be evil, from those who might, and those who are weak, they will help them. But in Luke chapter 15, after that which is lost, he searched until he found it. He knew that a sheep was gone and gone astray, and he looked for that sheep and he found that sheep. But there is no way we can overemphasize what a strong pulpit can also do for God's sheep, how they will be fed, and elders, of course, who will have a preacher who will preach the truth, and the congregation can be fed. What a shame it is when a preacher fails to proclaim the whole counsel of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Sometimes we fail to see urgency in the Lord's church. Sometimes we fail to see as preachers that we are feeding God's sheep, our elders, that we are watching over God's sheep. We are there to protect them, not only to feed them, not only to encourage them, but to protect them as well. And the shepherd's voice must certainly be there. It must be clear. It must be distinctive. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." Jesus Christ, as he deals with the sheep, we find that he speaks to them very lovingly. He speaks to them very kindly. But it seems like things change a little bit for him when he talks about those wolves who will come in and devour his sheep. It is sad today that we have sickly lambs within the Lord's church. But we should be willing to help them tenderly, caringly, to come back into the fold. May God bless us as we learn some lessons from his story about the good shepherd and the sheep. We today as sheep, we have no protection other than our shepherd, who is Jesus. When we think about how powerful Jesus is, when we think about how powerful God is and how he protects us and how he cares for us, that should bring a great deal of comfort to us. It should cause us to think that no matter what we might see in the world today, and all those that are out there in the world who seek to do Christians harm or who would like to destroy Christianity, that we have someone who is far greater than them. We have someone who is far more powerful. Amen. And someone who loves us more than anything. Amen. He loved us so much that he was willing to come from heaven and come to this earth to die for us, to come to this earth and teach us. And he laid down his life for us so that we might have a life with him in heaven. We think about sheep. We have some little sheep within our families. We have our children who we need to protect, who we need to care for. We feed them, we clothe them, we protect them, we guard them. Elders of the Lord's church should do the same. As gospel preachers, we have sheep that we are feeding. With both positive preaching and negative preaching. Matter of fact, I don't know if there's anything negative preaching. I know some people may look at Matthew chapter 23 and say, well, Jesus Christ went off. That's negative preaching. Jesus Christ was trying to reach the Pharisees, Sadducees of his day. He preached to them many times and they would not listen. He started to get a little bit more gruff with them. He started to point out some things that they needed to change, some things that they needed to rectify in their lives. Jesus could not reach some of them. There are going to be some people who we cannot reach. But today, sheep will go astray. Sheep need guidance. They need a protectionist system, a protection system. And that is our faith. That is Jesus. That is the Word of God who can help us to overcome the world. This afternoon, We need Jesus Christ as our shepherd. We need Him as our protector. We need Him to lead us to heaven. We need to follow His footsteps. Many times, even in my own life as a father, and I think being a father is very difficult to do, and being a husband is also very difficult. When I think about my kids and protecting my kids and shepherding my kids, in a sense, it's a very difficult task. You can only imagine an elder's job of trying to get a congregation to go into heaven. How often do we neglect our little sheep that are in our house? How often do we neglect the sheep that are within the congregation? Let us point him and point them to the good shepherd who can protect us and will never, ever forsake us. That's the lesson that Jesus Christ gives of the good shepherd. Such a beautiful lesson. Makes it very easy and very simple for us to understand. But let us keep in mind we have a job to do. We have to follow in his footsteps. And as sheep, that we remember the words of Jesus, because we can hear his voice very clearly today through his inspired word. I think about how sad it would be for us today that one day we're going to be judged by the word of God, and yet we have never read it from cover to cover. We don't know that many things about Jesus Christ, although he knows everything about us. But we should know the book. You know, there was a town where a news channel, they had the scavenger hunt. And the scavenger hunt that took place was citywide, and all the people in the town were participating in it. And the clues would be given out a little bit each day. A new clue would be given out by this radio program on where you can find this $5,000 check. And people would take off from work. They got their kids involved. They got in their cars. People were racing around towns. There are some individuals who had even opened up manhole covers as they got closer to place. Some people were going down to the sewer lines to find this certificate where they would win $5,000. People didn't even go to work. It captured the attention of the entire town. There was a man who was in the library, pulled a book off the shelf and used it to take a nap on. After he took a nap on this book, he started to look through this book and closed it up. He was about ready to leave, and he saw a little envelope in the book where he was taking a nap on. And sure enough, he pulled out the certificate for $5,000. Everyone was looking all over town for their reward. But where was it found? It was found in the book. That's where we're going to find the answers to this life. They're going to be in the book, in God's word. Use the protection of your great shepherd. Use the teachings that he gave you. Use the faith. And the stronger your faith is, the more protection you're going to have upon this earth. Jesus Christ surely is the good shepherd. Let us follow him.